At times, the only response is, wow, this service has already been a tremendous blessing to me, and I pray that it's been the same for you. As David mentioned earlier, First Baptist Crawford is in the midst of a sermon series that we've titled Songs of Summer, where we've been singing some of the great hymns of our faith. And as we've sung them, we've also gotten deep into them with the hope that we come out the other end with a greater appreciation for them. And today, we've already sung It Is Well. And I pray that through this service and through the preaching of God's Word, we come outside of these sanctuary doors with a better understanding of all this hymn means. Before we get there, will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are grateful for what we've already experienced, gathered together. And Father, I pray that in these next few moments, that your word would reign supreme. That through the preaching of your word, we would come to a better understanding of who you are. And we would come to a better understanding of who you've called each one of us to be. Father, as the one preaching, I pray that my words are quickly forgotten, but your words are planted in cement in our hearts and minds. And we pray this all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In 1871, Horatio Spafford was a prosperous lawyer and a devout churchgoer. You can see his image here. These images that I'll be showing actually come from the Library of Congress. And it's truly my belief that it's an act of God that some of these images and documents have been preserved for us. When in 1871, Horatio was a lawyer, a churchgoer. He was loving life, married to his wife, Anna, enjoying seeing his four little daughters begin to grow up into little girls. 1871 was the year that the Great Chicago Fire devastated the city. As a lawyer, Horatio Spafford was kept pretty busy doing what lawyers do in times of tragedy. I'm sure some of us have experienced that in this sanctuary this morning. After about 2 years of working nonstop with all the devastation that this fire brought, Spafford and family decided that they were going to get away. They were going to take a European vacation, their family and some friends. At the very last minute, Horatio Spafford is kept back because of some lingering business that needed to be taken care of. Anna and the four daughters boarded a ship, a French ocean liner, and headed to Europe. Somewhere across the Atlantic Ocean, this French ocean liner containing the Spafford family was struck by a British vessel. The French ocean liner sank within minutes. Within minutes, the ship sank. Anna was rescued. She was found unconscious on some sort of flotation device. The four daughters, you can see their family album here, all four drowned. We have a written record of a conversation that Anna had on shore with a pastor. And she's recorded as saying, God gave me 4 daughters. And today they've been taken away. Someday, I'll know why. Eight days after the accident, Anna Spafford is in Wales. And she sends a telegram home to Horatio to let him know what happened. Here you see a newspaper article detailing the events. And then here's the actual telegram that Anna sends home to Horatio. It's hard to read, but at the top line, saved alone, what shall I do? Saved alone, what shall I do? Horatio receives this telegram and immediately heads on a ship of his own to go retrieve his wife and bring her back home. Again, somewhere crossing the Atlantic Ocean, the ship's captain calls for Horatio. The captain tells him it's here. It's right here where the ship went down. Horatio, again, it's amazing the records we have of this event. He writes home to a family member. And he says, on Thursday last, we passed over the spot where the ship went down in mid-ocean. The water's 3 miles deep. But I do not think of our dear ones there. They are safe, folded, the dear lambs. Horatio is meeting with the ship captain. He's told this is where the ship went down. And he retreats to his cabin. And as they're sailing over the watery graves of his 4 daughters, he pulls out a piece of stationery. Again, it's remarkable that we have this. Pulls out a piece of stationery and writes the hymn, "It Is Well." We've already lifted our voice singing this hymn, the first line of that hymn, "When peace like a river attendeth my way." And this next line, "When sorrows like sea billows roll." Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. The lyrics on their own are breathtaking. The lyrics with the story are just flat out remarkable. The lyrics with the story give the whole thing great, great depth and meaning. But if you're like me, it's easy to read these lyrics and hear that story and think that that kind of faith, that kind of attitude is so far out of my reach. I know it's easy to read those lyrics and hear that story and go, that kind of faith, that kind of attitude is just beyond you and me. But the truth is, as amazing as these lyrics are, as amazing as that story is, that type of faith and that type of attitude is not unique. We find the same kind of faith, we find the same kind of attitude in our pages of Scripture. I invite you to join me in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. With my folks in Crawford, it's at this point that I have to make sure they're still awake. Now, I don't know about the West folks. But when you've got Philippians 4 in front of you, can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Is that everybody? If you've got Philippians 4, can I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right, picking up at verse 10. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, says, verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Then he throws in there in verse 11, I'm not saying this because I'm in need. Listen to the second half of verse 11. For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. Here it is again. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
The key to this passage. And sometimes we can find the keys to the Apostle Paul's passages when he repeats himself. And he does it twice here. He tells us twice, I have learned to be content. He's explicit about it. I have learned to be content. Paul did not wake up one day wearing contentment. He did not wake up one day saying that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. No. He says, I've learned it. The school of hard knocks taught Paul to be content in the ups and the downs. The laboratory of life produced a Paul who was content in the good days and the bad days. He says, I've learned this. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want, I've learned to be content in the up and in the down. For most of us here this morning, we know Paul's ups. Right? We get this famous story where Paul gets to meet the risen Lord on the road to Damascus. That's an up. Right? He gets to meet the risen Lord face to face on the road to Damascus. That's an up. Paul gets to travel the known world at the time, preaching the gospel message and planting churches. That's an up. Paul picks up a pen and he writes 13 letters that become the core of our New Testament. I'd say that's an up. I think we might be a little less familiar with Paul's downs. I think we might be a little less familiar with his downs. Stay in Philippians, but let me read this passage to you. You could write it down if you want to look at it later. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11, I'll read 24 through 28. Listen to this. Paul speaking about what he's been through. He says, five times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from the false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked besides everything else. I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Paul's downs. I've been down a time or two, but I've never been there. Can we hear an amen? I've been down a time or two, but I've never been there. In the fourth chapter of Philippians, Paul has summarized all those experiences. He summarized them all, and he says, through those ups and downs, I've learned to be content. I think sometimes we read Apostle Paul's letters and some of these big figures that we see in our Old and New Testament, and we just think one day they came out of the womb great people of faith. Paul says, no. I've learned this. He didn't wake up one day wearing contentment. He learned it. We've heard the story of Horatio Spafford. I don't think Horatio Spafford woke up one day singing, "It is well with my soul." Horatio Spafford, like the Apostle Paul, learned contentment. Are we grasping that? Can I hear an amen? Amen. So if we've grasped it, okay, contentment has to be learned. This is time for the big question, right? Well, how do you learn it? If you have to learn to be content, how do you learn it? Well, the ups and downs in our life are going to happen whether we're ready for them or not. Amen? We don't get to pick and choose whether this is going to be a day with an up or if this is going to be a day with a down. So that's taken care of. Right? We don't have to worry about that. Take one thing off the to-do list. Ups and downs are going to come when they come. So what's the key to us learning contentment? Paul finishes it in the passage that we read. Famous Philippians 4:13. He says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. The key to learning how to be content, to come to an understanding that I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Is this a favorite verse of anybody in here? Can I see a show of hands here? It also helps you stay awake a little bit. That's a lot of us. And understandably so. But do I have permission to provide a little pushback on this favorite verse of ours? Is that okay? I know I'm a visitor, so maybe I could get away with something. Maybe. Philippians 4:13 is found in the context of contentment. Right? We've established this. Paul says, I've done this and I've been there. I've been without and I've been with. And I've been hungry and I've been well fed. And he finishes that by saying, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. It's the context of contentment. We often find this verse, we bring it into the context of goal setting or sporting events, right? We've seen sports t-shirts with Philippians 4:13 on it. We've seen sports banners with Philippians 4:13. Don't run me out yet. I'm going to make it nice in the end. But let me push back with it a little bit here. All right, we've seen the sports t-shirts with Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. We've seen the banners. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And the message in that is, quite honestly, I can win this game because Christ gives me the strength. There's nothing wrong with that. We're saying, I can win this game. I can excel. I can do well because Christ gives me the strength. But there's something subtle going on there. What happens when you don't win? What happens when you get blown out on the field? What happens when you're like my sophomore year in high school and your soccer team doesn't win a game? Was never even competitive, was never even close, and you've got Philippians 4:13 on your t-shirts. The subtlety in there is saying, I'll only be content if I win the game. But the context that we find Philippians 4:13 is whether I'm in want or whether I have plenty, whether I'm hungry or whether I'm well fed. Philippians 4:13 is telling us that whether we win or lose, Christ provides us the ability to be content. So don't take it off the sports banner. Don't take it off your t-shirts. But just understand what it's truly saying. Even if we get blown out, even if we never win a game, Christ is enough. Philippians 4:13 is found in the context of contentment. So let's bring it out of the sports arena and bring it right into our sanctuary this morning. What is Philippians 4:13 telling us? The secret of being content. How do we do it? Whether well-fed or hungry. Whether in plenty or in need. Whether it's the day we get fired or it's the day that we get hired. Whether it's the day that we get the clean bill of health or it's the day we get the bad news. Whether it's the day of tragedy or whether it's just a day like any other day. We can learn to be content by knowing that I can do all things. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Paul learned to keep his focus on his relationship with Christ and not the fluctuating circumstances of everyday life. That's contentment. Amen? He learned to keep his focus on his relationship with Christ and not the fluctuating circumstances of everyday life. And that's content. Paul learned it through the ups and through the downs. He learned to say, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Paul learned it, and it seems as if Horatio Spafford learned it as well. We've already reread the first line of the hymn, but the rest of the verses, Horatio Spafford writes, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. Verse 3, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. In the final verse, and Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It's our second and our final big question. What's the difference? What's the difference between the Apostle Paul, Horatio Spafford, and you? What's the difference between the Apostle Paul, Horatio Spafford, and you? It's my prayer that you would realize the answer to that question is not much. It's my prayer that you would understand the answer to that question is not much. The ups and downs are going to come, and for many of us in this room, they've arrived. So will we learn to be content? Well, we learn that Christ gives us strength. And this is how it works. You've woken up this morning and you've turned your face to God, and He's going to give you the strength for today. And you're going to wake up tomorrow and you're going to turn your face toward God, and He's going to give you the strength for that day. And then the day after that, you're going to wake up and you're going to turn your face to God, and He's going to give you the strength for that day. And then the day after that, you're going to wake up and you're going to turn your face to God, and He's going to give you the strength for that day. And there comes a point when you learn contentment, whether it's a day of ups or it's a day of downs, you can say, I can do it all through Christ who gives me strength. Through that routine, you're going to learn contentment, and there's going to be a day when you wake up and you're going to sing, it is well with my soul. There's no difference between any of us, the Apostle Paul and Horatio Spafford, other than Paul and Horatio learned contentment. Some of us in this room have. And it's my prayer that some of us will learn it in the days to come. Allow me the privilege of praying for you. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that as sinful and broken people, You still choose to love us. And as sinful and broken people, You still care for us. And as sinful and broken people, You pick up the pieces and You put us back together. And You set us on our way. But Father, You never leave us. You never leave us. Father, I pray for this sanctuary of people, a blending of two churches, a blending of people from all sorts of backgrounds and upbringings. Father, all of us pray. Father, all of us pray that this would be a day where we move closer to learning contentment. That this would be a day that we turn our face to You and realize that Christ is enough. Father, it is my prayer that we would wake up tomorrow and do the same. Father, in the midst of our downs, we look to you. Father, in the midst of our downs, we realize we're helpless on our own. But we can do everything with you by our side. Father, we know that you hear the prayers of your people. Father, we rejoice that you've heard us here today. And we pray this all in the name of the one who makes everything possible, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.